Well, we're going to get started. Yes, it's on. We're going to get started. Remember your bulletin, the prayer requests and things that are on that. Tracy does a great job of updating that every week and putting new praises on it and new prayer requests and things like that. And so as you, what is it? Yeah. I was actually going to let Artie share that. Roy, which I'd like to point out, is still dealing with hernia issues and stuff like that. And it sounds like he's likely to have another surgery soon. We've tried to make contact with him, but he seems elusive. We don't have an update on him currently, but I do know that he was still having the hernia issues and some health issues, stuff like that. So please be in prayer about him. But in saying that, Artie has stepped up to lead Celebrate Recovery in Roy's absence, and they had a great night Friday, and we had it was four new guys, right? Was it three? No, three new guys. There was four guys. Three of them were new. And you want to share what happened?
Well, we had a good service like usual. But at the end of the service, they usually lead us in prayer. Anybody that accepted salvation. Two people accepted salvation and gave their life to Christ.
Yeah, so, you know, God is on the move, and you just never know. You just never know where you're going to be a vessel used by God to bring somebody into a right relationship with God. And so that's awesome. And, you know, heaven was rejoicing that night because they took that step of faith and accepted Christ. And so a new life for them has begun. And so I did not write their names down, so I... Alex and John, okay. So if you will remember Alex and John as they begin their new life journey with Christ, it's exciting. We were all there once. And so it's amazing where God can take us when we devote our time and energy to Him. So you should have a connection card. Fill those out. Put them in the offering plate when they pass here in a little bit. You guys need to see Miss Tracy at the end of the service, okay? The kids are going on a skating adventure, and so that's coming up. We're excited next weekend. Yeah, next weekend. The women are heading off to Columbus. The list of attendees are growing. I think the ladies are going to be blessed with a day away and painting and stuff like that. And so if that sounds like your cup of tea, get with Tracy, and they're going to be heading off to Columbus and enjoying a day of fun and painting and just being with other Christian believers. So I think that's all I have. Next Wednesday, we are moving the Thursday night prayer group to Wednesday nights. Because there's a lot of us that are here. This is really the biggest reason. There's a lot of us here at different points through the week. And so it fits. We have been keeping our prayer time, unless God moves otherwise, because we don't want to put a cap on God and what He's doing and all of that. So unless God moves otherwise, we have been keeping our prayer time to a 30-minute share time. And so it fits well. We're here Wednesday night at 6:30 for Bible study, which we are just starting a new series. So join us for that. But we are moving our prayer group. It'll be every other Wednesday like we did every other Thursday. And so join us for that. And so we'll have Bible study from 6:30 to 7:30 and then prayer group from 7:30 to 8. And we're always here till 8 or a little after 8 anyway, because we get to talk in and whatever after service. But anyways, we're going to move it to that, and then that'll eliminate our Thursday nights so that we're not here an additional night. Not that we don't want to be here and love God, but you know what I'm saying. So we're going to move those to Wednesday night. So I think that's enough announcements. Won't you stand with me? And we're going to open up with our song, You Are Good.
And before we start, I'd like to go ahead and open up with prayer. If you bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the people that have made it into your house, Lord. We're just so grateful to have devoted members and people in the congregation. Lord, we pray for those who cannot be here. We ask that your Holy Spirit move freely and touch every one of us. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done and all you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. This one's a little peppy. If you think God is good, give him praise, right?
You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Say it again, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Now come on, clap your hands and shout if you believe it tonight. Come on, everybody.
God is good all the time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, our scripture reading comes out of Matthew 27:3. Read along with me. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. All right, well, let's keep going, and we're going to sing Show Me Your Glory.
Caught a glimpse of your splendor in the corner of my eye. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it was like a flash of lightning reflecting off the sky. And I know I'll never be the same. Set off for ordinary things. I'm gonna follow you forever, all of my days. I won't rest till I see you again. Show me your glory. Send down your presence. I wanna see your face.
Take up offering, so if we could get it, kind of looks like we only need one guy. We're kind of, well, I don't know what you say, left or right sided here.
Thank you.
song. So if you would join me in standing one more time, we're going to sing Give Me Give Me Faith.
Spirit strong in me, my flesh may fail. my God, you never will.
And so, Father, we're praying today that you will give us eyes to see what you say, the truth in what you say. Father, because you say that we are loved, we are forgiven. And sometimes we fail to see that. And so, Father, in our failure, find us strong and give us that strength. And so, Father, we just commit our time to you today. Father, we pray that you will continue to move freely in unhindered ways, reaching the deepest parts of our hearts today, helping us see the truth in your word. And so, Father, we want to remember those that aren't with us today for whatever reason. Father, give them a double dose of your spirit today. Father, show them that they're loved and missed. Father, we pray that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a special blessing on your people today. And so, Father, may we never fail to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead and take a seat, and we're going to get started. I'm going to do my best to not cough in your ear, and I'm sorry in advance. I've been... No, don't do it. I have been sick all week. It has been plaguing me. But God is good. And all the time, God is good. And so, one thing I want to kind of put, give you to put in the back of your mind as we begin is how important is a name? How important is a name? And you could say, well, what name? Well, any name. How important is your name? Many of you can, like me, can probably think back growing up. And maybe you can think of a name, maybe you were bullied in school. Or maybe somebody really come alongside you in school and just kind of give you that extra boost of confidence that maybe you needed in school. Or you can think back and think about the family that lived down the street that was just known for the trouble they always caused. You know what I mean? And so, how important is a name? And so we're going to kind of uncover that a little bit today as we begin our pre-weeks. I'm going to call them pre-weeks leading up to Easter. And so we're going to discover some of the stories and the drama, if you will, leading up to Easter Sunday. And so Easter is a time where we will see a love story emerge from amongst all of the lies, the treachery, the pain, and really the terror that took place in that time. And so many of these different storylines emerge from various characters that are within the Bible that we associate with Easter. And when we think of their names, we often form mental pictures. And that's kind of why I give you that how important is a name, because most of us can form a mental picture in our minds that kind of takes us back to that particular time or takes us back to that particular person. And you know, sometimes when we read the Bible and the stories that are in there, we can kind of form a mental picture in our minds and maybe even go back and try and create a scene in our minds maybe of that time and what was taking place and maybe how it unfolded. And so names are very important for both good and bad reasons. Both good and bad reasons because... like I said, maybe you can think of an individual that come alongside you and just give you that extra boost of confidence, or showed you love when nobody else was, or whatever the case is. But maybe you can also recall maybe somebody that wasn't so nice at some point through your journey. And so while preparing this week, I saw a story about a couple who caught an intruder in their house that had made his way into their bedroom. And so made his way into their bedroom, and a thief pulled out a gun and announced, "Now that you've seen me, I've got to kill you." And the intruder goes on to say, "I like to know the names of the people that I kill." And so he looks at the wife and he says, "What is your name?" And the wife looks at him, nervous, shaken with fear, and says, "Elizabeth." And the intruder says, "Well, now I can't do it because my mother's name is Elizabeth." He turns to the gentleman and he says, "What is your name?" He looks at his wife. He looks at the gun. He looks back at the intruder. He says, "My name is Joe, but my friends call me Elizabeth." And so in that moment, that man realized how important a name was. Because he knew that he could not kill his wife because of his name. And so he took advantage of that. And so names are important. Before World War II, New York City, this is some other information. To be honest, I did not go on Google and confirm this, so I encourage you to do that. But before World War II, I found this article that said that a phone book had 22 Hitlers listed in it at the end of World War II. Before World War II. After the war, there were none, as people changed their names. And so I personally can see a lot of truth in this. And so people changed their names so that they would not be associated with the evil that came from Hitler. And so a number of years ago, it was popular to give children names of characters in the Bible. James, Matthew, John, Martha, Elizabeth. Yeah, and Nathaniel, yeah, that's true. I didn't put that one down here, but and others were frequently used. I guess I fit in that category. One name that was never used, though, was Judas. I can't say that has been stayed true over the course of the years, because at some point I recall hearing somebody saying the name Judas and how their child, you're raising your hand, I'm guessing you know. Yeah, well, we're actually going to discuss Jude here in just a little bit. Julian, okay. So, but it was a name that wasn't frequently used. I would go as far as saying it's probably either not used or not frequently used even in our time. And Judas was a name associated with treachery, because we all know the story that took place, which we're going to cover here. And so John records an incident that happened at a feast honoring Christ. Mary broke a jar of very expensive ointment and anointed Jesus' feet with it. And Judas objected to this extravagance. And it's noted in John's reading in John 12:6. Goes on to say, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was in it. And so Judas was a thief, and he recognized how important this ointment was that had been spread all over Jesus' feet And he wasn't happy about it because she was taking money out of his pocket because he often helped himself to the money bag. And Judas is a name that when mentioned, you will not likely forget because it's just not a name that is used very often. And so when that name is spoken, I know when I hear Judas, my mind immediately goes to Judas Iscariot, which betrayed Jesus. Jesus had a younger brother also named Judas. When he wrote the letter that became part of the New Testament, he used a variation of his name, which is Jude. Today, as we consider Judas, we're going to see him in a new light. Okay, and so that's what we're going to discuss a little bit today. We're going to talk about Judas and how his story unfolded. In some ways, Judas didn't have to pay that price, but Jesus knew that he would. And so we're going to look at two questions when it comes to the name of Judas. Okay, first, the name of Judas. And was Judas a true disciple? And so let me begin by saying that there is nothing wrong with the name Judas. Because even though Judas took the path that he did and betrayed Jesus, it is just a name. It's just that, a name. And we can probably think back at some of the names, even in our local communities. If I was to say Kehoe Brothers, do y'all remember what they were famous for? The shootout with the Ohio State Patrol. Marilyn Manson, we all know what he was famous for. And so just because somebody has a name and it's associated with something bad doesn't mean that name is bad. It's just what they did was bad. And so the name Judas is not a bad name. It's just associated with the treachery that took place in the Bible. And so the name Judas isn't bad. It was what the person did that was wrong. Judas is a variant of Judah, one of the tribes of Israel. It means he shall be praised. Iscariot is a combination of two Hebrew words, ish and carrot, or man of carrot. Okay? This is significant because being from Keroth, Judas would be the only non-Galilean disciple in the group and possibly feeling like the odd man out. The Greek form of Iscariot was worse. In the Greek, it meant dagger bearer. I wouldn't want to carry that name. Maybe he didn't either. But I guess he got it. But much like the Zealots, who were prepared to use any means at their disposal to free themselves from Palestine rule, from Roman rule, you know, they were just those kind of guys. And so as for question two, was Judas a true disciple? There's been a lot of discussion about this. There's been so much discussion about this issue that there are those that think Judas fits into the category of unsaved church member. You can form your own opinion. I'm not going to form that opinion. You can read over the story, pray about it. If you care to form an opinion on Judas, that's up to you. But the story is there for all to read freely. And so there are people that go to church who may or may not serve in various capacities, but have never made an authentic decision in their lives to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. It is amazing how many people breach these doors, sit in our pews, that have never taken that step of faith and truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It happens. And it's very unfortunate. But it does happen. And so we, as the body of Christ, have to be ready to continue to shower everyone with love so that we can bring them in and experience the love of Christ like we do. And so that they may not be an individual that walks out of here one day not accepting Christ as their Savior. They will feel the love and importance of why that's necessary. And so I think this is a fair way to explain Judas, but also quite impossible to prove, as no one knows what's in another's heart. And we all know that Christ judges from the heart. And so there is no way of knowing. And that's why if somebody was to come to you or I and say, well, do you think so-and-so went to heaven? That is a question I will never answer with a yes or no. Because I don't know. And we can look over their lives and maybe their walk with Christ and say, you know what? Yeah, there's probably a good chance. But at the end of the day, nobody can sit here and say, yep, they went to heaven. Nope, they went to hell. Because we don't know. We don't know what's in somebody's heart. And so we just have to say, you know, they look like they lived a life of Christ. And they accepted Christ, and so I have to believe. I will believe that I will see them in heaven one day. But at the end of the day, we don't know somebody's heart. So, the scripture does record that Judas received the same commission and anointing as the other men. Mark 3:14-19, he appointed the 12. He appointed the 12. That they might be with him and that they might send them out to preach. 15 goes on to say, and to have authority to drive out demons. And so on that day, Jesus appointed the 12 that they would have authority to go out and drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed. Simon, also gave him the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, his brother John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Okay? And so an interesting thing about this passage is that at the end, Mark identifies Judas as the one who was to betray Jesus. It tells us that Judas was ordained as the others were, and with the potential to do mighty works for God. And we're given that same opportunity. We are blessed with the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us to go out and do exactly what they were appointed to do. I believe in my heart personally that you and I have the same ability that those disciples. He appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that they might that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. If you do not believe that there are angels and demons around, you are mistaken. And I believe that you and I have the same power that is given to us by God to do the exact same things. We just have to do it. We have to be willing. We have to step up. And so this Mark account shows that Jesus was the one who chose Judas and not the other way around. So if Judas was an authentic disciple, what happened to make him betray Christ? What happened What happened to make him betray Christ? His love for money, perhaps? While there are many options, I would suggest that Judas made the choice to betray Jesus out of his own free will. And so he had the choice, much like you and I have the choice, to accept Christ as our Savior now. He had the free will to accept the mission that was set before him. Go out and preach the gospel, to chase out demons, to bring people into the knowledge. He had the free will to do that, just like you and I do today. And so out of his own free will, influenced by Satan, as we all are. Because if we are moving in the direction in which we believe God is calling us, taking that step of faith, we are going to be challenged in some way, shape, or form. Because Satan does not want you to achieve what God has called you to do. First and foremost, accept Christ. He does not want you to be saved and sanctified. He does not. And so, on our mission, we are going to be challenged. Luke 22:2 goes on to say that then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. Okay? Luke 22 tells us that Satan entered Judas. The other Gospels record this as well, but I want you to see that Satan entered Judas. And so if Satan can enter Judas, who are we to say that Satan can't enter us? That's why it's important to get into God's Word, to know God's Word, to put on the full armor of the Gospel, as we're instructed to do. Protect ourselves against the evil that is coming against us. It does not say that he possessed him. Judas was a thief, and Satan tempted him with 30 pieces of silver. Much the same way he enters our minds and tempts us. He knows our weaknesses. They all look different, but he knows our weaknesses. And he will tempt us to step outside of the protection of God in some way, shape, or form. And so we need to be covered in the blood. We need to be covered in the gospel, reading God's word, pulling strength and encouragement from it. Judas was a thief, and Satan knew it. And so he tempted him. And much like you and I, we have the ability, he had the ability, to turn and flee from it. Judas chose to betray Jesus. Just as Adam and Eve chose to disobey God by eating the forbidden fruit. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. "But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." And so we are reminded in 1 Corinthians that whatever Satan is going to throw at us doesn't, will not overcome the love and protection of Jesus Christ that is in our lives. We will not be tempted beyond our means. We just have to recognize what's happening and turn and flee from it. Because God says there is a way out. You will be able to endure it. You will not be tempted beyond what you can control. what God can control. And consider the things Judas did right after he betrayed Christ. In order for the forgiveness to occur, three things must take place. Recognition. We have to recognize we are sinners. Amen? Recognition of sin and repentance. And so we have to recognize there is sin in our lives before we can correct the sin in our lives. Amen? And repentance and confess it. And accept the forgiveness. Forgiveness is so readily available for you. He is ready to forgive you. But you have to recognize your sin and you have to confess the sin and accept the forgiveness. Two out of the three things occurred in Judas' life. The recognition of the sin. He knew that he did wrong. The first thing Judas did right after the betrayal was to recognize his sin and accept responsibility for it. The Bible says in our passage today that verses 3 and 4, that when he saw Jesus was condemned, he was full of remorse. And so he knew what he did was wrong. And so he recognized that. He said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And when Judas said he betrayed innocent blood, he was saying that Jesus was innocent. He knew Jesus was innocent. He accepted responsibility for his sin. Judas had 30 pieces of evidence that he was wrong. 30 pieces of evidence that he was wrong. You know, and in today's economy, I don't really know what the actual figure is, but 30 pieces of silver in their economy was quite a bit of money. And so if we had the 30 pieces of silver in our economy, I mean, I don't even know what that would be, but I'm sure it's got to be a lot of money. So, you know, if we were presented with a substantial amount of money, would we, like Judas, turn a blind eye to something that we know is wrong? I'd hope not, but they say money talks. I've never heard it talk, but they say it does. Oh, you looked it up? What's it say? I don't have my reading glasses.
It says, so 30 pieces of silver are about 5 weeks of money based on a 6-day working week, which meant that each piece of silver was probably worth about $20. So 30 pieces of silver was worth about $600.
In their time? So $600 in their time, but that really doesn't give us, that doesn't really give us how much it'd be worth to in our time. $600 in their time is a lot of money. So I would multiply that. I'm saying we're probably looking at $10,000, $15,000 maybe. I don't know. Yeah, that's true. Gold's way up. It's crazy. So, but the next thing that happened here, he recognized his sin and he confessed his sin. Judas then confessed his sin, which is the proper thing to do, both for him and you and I. His problem was that he confessed it to the wrong people. He went back to the religious leaders and told them that Jesus was innocent and tried to give the money back. So it might have been worth around $4,000 in our time. Okay. Well, if you're broke like me, $4,000 is a lot of money, so... not worth giving my soul up. That's right. Amen. Judas did the right thing. He confessed his sin, but he did it to the wrong people. He went back to the religious leaders and he tried to give the money back and said, look, he's innocent. You know, he was confessing that he was wrong. But unfortunately, it was to the wrong people. It fell on deaf ears because they wanted nothing more than to see Jesus crucified. And so the religious leaders had no interest in the truth. They wanted Jesus dead. And now that would occur in a way that would not be their fault, thanks to Judas. And so the acceptance of forgiveness is the next step. And this would be as close to Judas would get to forgiveness, likely. Why? Because when Jesus prayed the prayer of forgiveness, when he was nailed to the cross, Judas was already dead. Satan had so much information on Judas that he knew just when and how to make Judas fall. And he's got that same list on you and I. He knows just what to use against you. And he will. And so I want to encourage you today to not let him have that foothold on you. Cover yourself in the blood. If you see yourself falling short, which the Bible reminds us, we will all fall short of the glory of God. But recognize it and fix it immediately. Immediately. Only in the midst of his betrayal did Judas understand what he had done. Satan then finished him off with massive feelings of guilt and remorse. And we have probably all been there at some point in our lives. Maybe did or said something that after you said it, you was like, oh, good Lord, I never should have said that. Or good Lord, I never should have done that. And we use an illustration in the series we did it escapes me, but anyways, Satan dangles the item in your face, and it looks good, but on the inside, it's a hook, and you take of it, and it just snatches you right up. And so it looks good in the moment, but comes with a lot of negative, maybe guilt and remorse, or two of them. And so much so that his only relief could be found in death. And so we all know that's what Judas's fate was. What did Judas miss? Treachery is a wicked thing that makes that takes no prisoners and only leaves victims. It's hard for our minds maybe to conceive Judas ever being forgiven. I don't know. I don't know what happened there, but given the evidence, it's hard to say yes, he was. But again, that's in God's hands, not ours. we want Judas. Maybe we want Judas to pay for what he did, but that's not for us to do, because we're also reminded in Romans 12:19, and we can apply this in our own lives as well. You know, maybe somebody wronged us. Maybe somebody did something that hurt us deeply. But God says that vengeance is not ours. Romans 12:19 goes on to say, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And so even though we may want to use the scripture, well, an eye for an eye, God says that revenge is mine, and he will have it. Amen? And so Judas missed the forgiveness of Christ. Judas missed the peace of Christ. And so when a relationship that has been broken is restored, it attains a rene. Judas did everything within his own power to get this peace, but it eluded him. It eluded him. And just as it eludes so many people today, we're all in danger of that peace eluding us. But it's found in Christ. And so that's why it's so important for us to make sure that our relationship with Christ is in order. Because he is the source of our peace. Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so we find our peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior. The peace of God is not something you can understand, but thankfully it is something we can experience. Amen? And so I want to leave you with a couple thoughts here. Don't allow Satan an open door. He knows your weaknesses. He knows just where to hit you. And don't allow him to give us, to open a door for an opportunity to turn a blind eye for what is wrong in the eyes of God. Don't turn a blind eye to sin. Okay? You've seen the elements that now, today is the first Sunday in March, and so we are going to share in communion. Tracy prepared the communion for us today because I had been sick all week, and so I do not have to to touch your elements. So, but on that night when Christ was with the disciples, he said, "This is my body." First of all, he lifted it up and gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat, do it in remembrance of me." And he also took the cup, lifted it up, and gave thanks for it, and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you drink in remembrance of me." And so we're going to take just a second of quiet time. excuse me. Marcus, I do have a song, so if you'll start that song, turn it down a bit. Take just a minute to ready your hearts, to seek God and forgiveness of your sins, maybe make you right to receive the elements, whatever your prayer looks like. I'll pray in just a second, and we'll come up, take the elements, take them back to your seat, and take them when you're ready.
Blessed are you, walk looking on waves to find yourself sinking when you look away. Blessed are you lepers standing alone. The fear on their faces is all that you've known. Blessed are you lonely widow who gave your last shiny coin to Yahweh. Blessed are you with your silver and lies, kissing the one who's saving your life. Tell me your story, show me your wounds, and I'll show you what love sees when love looks at you.
Father, thank you so much for your willingness to go to the cross and endure a punishment that we couldn't endure on our own. So, Father, we thank you for coming into our lives and giving us new life. Father, a new life that is found in you. And so, Father, we just pray that you please forgive us of our sins, the sins that we're aware of, sins we're unaware of, Father. Prepare our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls to receive your elements today. And so, Father, may we never fail to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the elements as you're as you're ready. Tom, we'll bring yours back to you in a minute.
myself in light. And darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God?
With me.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God? Yeah. Sounded good. I think we found our next praise team. Praise team in training. All right. Well, thank you for being with us. Go in his power, be blessed, and look for a way to be a blessing. Amen.
You're dismissed.